From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you. Thank you. Stop that, as Bill Clinton said. Carl, it is great to have you back.
Thank you,
Peter. We have a great show for you today, everybody. Olympic gold medal gymnast Nastia Lukin will be joining us later to play Not My Job. That's very exciting. But first, we want to wag our finger a bit at John McCain. On Friday of this last week, he tried to steal the fire of the Democrats by announcing his vice presidential pick. It was a daring thing to do for a Republican, a daring pick, but we are not going to be distracted. No, this week, we are going to say rude, uninformed, borderline offensive things about the Democrats. The Republicans have to wait until next week. So let's get started. The number 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Scott Christie from Exira, Iowa.
Did you say Exira, Iowa?
I did. We're a small rural town in the rolling hills of western Iowa between Omaha and Des Moines.
What do you do there?
Well, I'm a technology coordinator for our local school district.
I didn't think small rural towns in the heartland had technology to be coordinated.
Well, we've had some electricity for the last few years.
That's great.
We've been making the best of it.
Hey, you know what I can recommend? I can recommend those magic lantern shows they have now. Very exciting. Scott, let me introduce you to our panel. First, say hello to a humorist and the author of the forthcoming book, Alphabet Juice, Mr. Roy Blunt, Jr.
Hi, Roy. Yes.
Also say hello to NPR's own Allison Stewart.
Hi, Allison.
Hey, Scott.
And lastly, say hello to an author whose most recent book is Norman Tuttle and the Last Frontier, Mr. Tom Beaudet.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Scott. How you doing?
Scott, welcome to the show. Now, you're going to play Who's Carl This Time? Carl Castle is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. Your job, of course, correctly identify or explain two of them. Do that, you'll win our prize. Carl Castle's voice on your own home voice answering technology.
Sounds great.
If you have that now.
You bet.
Okay. Ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right. Here is your first quote.
On November 4th, we must stand up and say, 8 is enough.
So who accepted the presidential nomination with a strange reference to a 30-year-old TV program?
our next president of the United States, Barack Obama.
There you are, Barack Obama. It was a little surprising, the greatest political orator of his generation, speaking to an audience of up to 90,000 people on a historic night, and he goes for the pop culture zinger. He then went on to say that if we strengthen our family ties, America will mash our opposition and once again have happy days.
I think Willie Ames was pretty psyched.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, the Democratic National Convention got off to a slow start with a series of dull speeches from speakers selected to demonstrate that whatever their race, creed, color, or region, Democrats can all stare into a teleprompter like a fawn looking into the headlights of an oncoming Republican National Convention. But Obama picked it up on that last night with his huge speech in this vast arena. The Republicans, leading up to the event, tried to steal some of the fire. They tried to mock him for the set, which featured Greek columns. They called it a Greek temple. They called it the Barackopolis. But Democrats pointed out that they were just being jealous because usually it's Republican speeches that are given in front of a lot of old, white, stiff things.
That's a classic there.
Yeah. It was strange that given what's happened over the 8 years and given what kind of advantage the Democrats wanted to take of what's happened to the 8 years and people's discontent, the angriest person was Keith Olbermann.
And he was angry at Chris Matthews.
I know. It's like, you know, right. The Democrats really couldn't work up a head of steam about anything. But Keith Olbermann was right. Like, you know.
Well, you know, I kind of switched back and forth between CNN and PBS because PBS, if you actually wanted to watch the speech, And then CNN, if you wanted to watch the three guys talking about the speech that's droning on behind them. Yeah. And James Carville was always one of them. And he gets spookier looking every year, doesn't he?
he really does.
He's starting to look like that character in the Lord of the Rings movie, Gollum. You know?
Just yes.
Held onto the ring a little too long.
Yeah. You know? Hillary is his precious, I think.
My Britney.
Let's move on to your next quote. We're going to spend your entire time with us, Scott, talking about the Democratic National Convention. So here's your next quote.
To my supporters, my champions, my sisterhood of the traveling pantsuits, from the bottom of my heart, thank you.
That was someone making her swan song for the moment at the DNC. Who was it?
Well, I'm tempted to ask Carl to repeat that, but but I think I recognize the voice as Hillary Clinton.
Yes. Mm. Carl did capture that subtle Illinois/New York accent. That was very good. It was the big story of the convention going in. Would Hillary Clinton join Team Obama? Or would she go to the podium, signal for her shock troops of white women aged 45 to 60 to pull out their pink revolvers, take over the hall, and declare her empress? No, she did not. She thanked her supporters. She urged them to all keep fighting for their causes, to support Obama. And then, and this was totally cool, just as it seemed she was finally giving in, she jumped through a hidden manhole cover and escaped via the sewers, guaranteeing a sequel. Now, one of the best to some people, but weirdest moments to others during her speech on Tuesday night was when the camera during her speech kept cutting to a close-up of Bill Clinton up there in the seats. He kept mouthing the words, "I love you, I love you, I love you forever." However, careful examination of B-roll footage from the convention showed he was actually, when he was mouthing those words, he was looking at Joe Biden's mother. She was feisty, though.
I like Joe Biden.
Joe Biden's mother was great.
I'll mouth "I love you" to Joe Biden's mom. Yeah, I like her.
Because you see that? Because every time Joe Biden, there was a lot of silent mouthing. I don't know what this means during the Democratic National Convention. But every time Joe Biden told an anecdote about his mom, like, "She told me to go out there and bloody someone's nose," she up in the stands turned to somebody and said, "I did. I did that. That's true."
I thought she was going to hit somebody.
Yeah, I know.
I'll show you how, too. Come on up. I'll take it. Any old lady in the audience, I'll take them.
All right, Scott, here's your last quote from the DNC.
"Daddy, what city are you in?"
That was, we believe, the only non-scripted moment of the entire four-day spectacle. Who wondered where the heck her father was on live national TV?
And he did, too.
Yeah.
Well, that would have been the youngest of the two Obama daughters.
Yes, Sasha Obama. Ah. Sasha Obama. Perhaps the most exciting, scary, genuine moment of the convention happened on Monday night. It was right after Michelle Obama's speech, in which the talented, intimidatingly intelligent Mrs. Obama tried to convince the country that she was as mundane as the rest of us and therefore no threat to us. She actually handed a live mic on national TV to her 7-year-old daughter. Now, I have had such a creature in my house. And like parents everywhere who were watching, I leaned forward on my couch staring at the TV, expecting to see a single poorly timed but enthusiastically delivered poop joke destroy the Democratic Party forever.
My favorite was, Malia had such the big sister face.
Yeah.
When she saw the little one getting the microphone, like, in slow motion, she was like, "Mom, no you didn't. I can't believe you gave this." Mom!
Carl, how did Scott do in our quiz?
Well, Scott was perfect, Peter. 3 correct answers, so he wins our prize.
Well done, Scott. Well done.
Thanks so much.